is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the Resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, October 7th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, as Ebola spreads in Spain, there's anger that protective measures for medical personnel were not sufficient. Meanwhile, in the U.S., the CDC gives the all clear for an Ebola caregiver to return to work as a nurse only 7 days after unprotected contact. And if a cop would do this over refusing to show ID, what would he do in a pandemic? All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
I'm getting shot by the police.
Ebola is a very serious disease, and the ability of people who are infected to carry that across borders is something that we have to take extremely seriously. At the same time, it is important for Americans to know the facts, and that is that because of the measures that we've put in place, as well as our world-class health system, and the nature of the Ebola virus itself, which is difficult to transmit, the chances of an Ebola outbreak in the United States is extremely low.
So that was El Presidente. He wants everyone to know that this is a very, very serious situation. But there's an extraordinarily low chance that it's going to actually be a problem here in the U.S. So a lot of mixed messages going on coming out of the government. And, of course, they're saying, you know, they want to stop this epidemic at the source, yet they are refusing to implement a travel ban so that the infection can't actually leave from the source and go to other areas. But don't worry, the president is going to increase passenger screening techniques here in the United States. Of course, they're TSA is going to work extra hard on those of us here. Now, the president and the White House has not elaborated on exactly what those new screenings will entail, but possibilities include taking the temperature of travelers from affected countries once they arrive in the U.S. and, of course, more closely track the travel histories for international travelers who are arriving in the United States. Of course, there are already they're already screening at the airports when people are exiting these Ebola-stricken nations. They're using various techniques like thermometers, patient screenings, and questionnaires. But of course, as we know, that's how Patient Zero was able to arrive in the United States. He lied on one of these questionnaires when it asked if he had been in contact with anyone who had Ebola. So of course, he just lied his way in on that questionnaire, and at the time, he was not showing any symptoms of this disease. So this is clearly not a foolproof plan that we're working with here. Now, the agencies are saying that implementing a flight ban would be bad for the economy. Of course, it'll hinder aid. But what happens if hundreds of thousands of people become sick? Now, even though Obama and the CDC are saying, don't worry about it, don't worry about this, people are worrying about it. Five Dallas schools so far have installed fever scanners. Now, the company that makes these fever scanners donated these to these five schools. They'll be able to monitor any fevers there. It's often the first symptom of Ebola, and it'll allow nurses to take the temperatures of these students without actually touching them. It'll read their temperature from a few inches away. So far, so good on that front. We don't have any more reported cases of any of these children who had been in contact to varying degrees with Patient Zero. But then, of course, we have the governor of Connecticut. He has declared a state of emergency over Ebola just as a precaution. He doesn't want to worry anyone. There is no actual patients there in his state that actually have this infection, but he wants the authority to quarantine and isolate people who may have been exposed. He just wants, you know, he says it's essential that we be prepared and we need to have the authorities in place to allow us to move quickly to protect public health. So while the governor is here, these other schools are here to actively monitor and track any potential new cases of this epidemic. The governor of Connecticut is saying he just wants to be able to quarantine people that have a reasonable suspicion of coming in contact with this virus. Well, now we have The nurse's assistant who actually came in contact with patient zero, she called 911. She rode in the ambulance with him. She was there helping him when he was violently vomiting. She rides in the ambulance with him. It's only been about 7 days since we first heard about patient zero being diagnosed. Well, the CDC has given her the thumbs up to return to work, her and her husband. Now, I'm talking about the stepdaughter of Thomas Duncan. She works as a nurse's assistant, and she has been in quarantine in her house with her husband and their four children. But it's only been 7 days, and they're giving her the all clear to go back to her job as a nurse's assistant. They're, you know, just go on ahead, and we know you haven't waited the 21-day incubation period, but, you know, just get on out there and go ahead and keep on rolling out that Ebola false flag. Now, luckily, when she was interviewed, she said that she and her husband, they haven't decided if they are going to return to work just yet or if they will, in fact, wait the full 21 days for the incubation period. But this is completely contradictory to what the CDC had to say.
Because it's such a deadly disease, people are scared. And it's normal to be scared. In fact, for the healthcare workers who are caring for people with Ebola, we want them to be scared. We want them to have a healthy respect of the risk of any lapse in infection control procedure. We want them to channel that fear into being incredibly meticulous about infection control.
So the director of the CDC is very specific that he wants healthcare workers to be very afraid of Ebola so that they take meticulous efforts in ensuring that this infection is not spread. And yet the CDC is now giving two nurses' assistants the thumbs up to get back to work after they have not even completed the full 21-day quarantine. So this is just very bizarre. And of course, now we can report that despite wearing a protective safety suit, the nurse that was in Madrid who caught Ebola, she became infected, and here she's in her protective gear. Anger is, of course, growing throughout Spain as it is being claimed that these protective suits given to health officials are not good enough. And it is also since emerged since then that before she even tested positive for Ebola, this nurse reported to her employers that she was having a fever and fatigue, and she explained that she had helped treat Ebola patients. So, I mean, here again, we're seeing human error with being able to stop Ebola from spreading. So here she warned that she had treated these Ebola patients. She had a fever, but it wasn't until she went to her local hospital on Monday that she was finally admitted and tested for the virus. It's not the same hospital where she works. So here again, we have all of this potentiality for human error to be the reason that this is going to become a pandemic, could spread global. It's human error at the airport, human error at the hospital, human error when kids that don't know that they are sneezing and coughing all over their classmates. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization has warned that it is unavoidable that more cases are going to be diagnosed in Europe because of the extensive amount of travel between Europe and affected areas. And that's what we were initially saying when we heard that they were flying patients into America to treat them for Ebola. Human error is the issue here. And now some Ebola experts are worrying that the virus may spread more easily than was assumed. U.S. officials are assuring that co-passengers who are on the same plane with an air traveler from West Africa, they're perfectly fine unless that person has a fever of at least 101.5 degrees or is showing other symptoms of having Ebola. And the CDC says zero risk. Now, I am no genius, but I know that anyone can take ibuprofen or a number of other things to take their temperature down. And if you're a person who is in a country that doesn't have good healthcare facilities there, and you know people in your entire village are dying from this disease and they're going to shut it down, you know, people are probably going to take some pretty drastic measures to get out of that country and into a country that's going to offer them better health care. So, of course, this whole checking for a fever thing could be easily duped by someone with the means to do that. Well, now a virologist who oversaw Ebola research while heading the U.S. Army's Medical Research and Development Command warns that those assertions of a zero risk chance are premature. He says, "I see the reasons to dampen down public fears, but scientifically, We're in the middle of the first experiment of multiple serial passages of Ebola virus in man. God knows what this virus is going to look like. I don't. And then additionally, some public health specialists are saying there is no proof that a person who's infected but who lacks symptoms could not spread the virus to others. And another viral researcher, Charles L. Bailey, who supervised the government's research when they were responding to an outbreak of Ebola among several dozen rhesus monkeys who were housed for research in Reston, Virginia. He says that these unqualified assurances that Ebola is not spread through the air are misleading. He said, we know for a fact that the virus occurs in sputum, and no one has ever done a study that coughing or sneezing is not a viable means of transmitting this infection. And that's what we've been saying. Basically, these monkeys were in very tight quarters, and that is how they were infecting each other with Ebola, through coughing and sneezing. But they just want to say, don't worry. Don't worry. It's not airborne. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. And of course, they're sending troops to Africa, and the Pentagon is now saying it's not a huge risk to the troops. They're not going to come in contact with these Ebola patients. Everything is fine. Now, despite the fact that they have failed on multiple occasions to contain Ebola, which is, of course, now spreading on multiple continents, the Defense Department is saying that the military is using strict protocols to protect the troops, and they're going to implement careful reintegration once they return to the U.S., right? So now we know that they are there in Africa to set up military bases. I mean, to help combat the Ebola outbreak. But here are some pictures of them actually setting up these prisons or FEMA camps, field hospitals for these Ebola patients. Just take a look at these photos. Now, this is Monday afternoon. Soldiers are erecting a barbed wire fence around what's going to become one of these treatment facilities. And they say here in this article, it isn't immediately clear if the fence was to help protect the camp from looters or to prevent sick patients from escaping. I mean, what does that look like to you? That is like razor wire right there. But don't worry, the commander of AFRICOM says the troops aren't going to come in contact with any of these Ebola patients, and any soldier who contracts Ebola will be flown back into the U.S. for treatment. And hopefully we will have the VA fixed by then for when the troops get back. Now, about this mandatory quarantine, obviously it is no secret that we are currently living in a police state. But take a look at this next video. Now, if a police can react like this to a person who isn't wearing a seatbelt, that's why he was pulled over. Just imagine what a cop would do to you if he thought you were carrying Ebola. Now, this is a police officer in Illinois. He was filmed smashing through a car window, then tasering and yanking out this passenger because the guy initially at first refused to show him his ID. The man then starts to pull out his bag to show him his ID. And of course, cops, they hate that when you actually acquiesce to their request. And so the cops all pull their weapons out. The man is there with his children in the back seat and with his wife. And of course, this is when things really escalated.
Y'all got a white shirt?
Look at my shoulder, dumbass. I got the bars.
You're going to come out of the car one way or the other. Do you want your kids to see you come out through the window?
While his girlfriend again called 911 for a supervisor to come to the scene.
I am scared. And he got it, the man, they pulled a gun out. Why did my kids have to see that?
So that is absolutely unbelievable video footage. People are getting shot every single day in America by the police, and then this is what we see on film. So it's no wonder that this man was afraid to step out of his vehicle when all the cops are pointing guns at him. Now, Jones's attorney points out that at no time was there ever a search of the car, nothing to suggest that any criminal activity was going on. The police just immediately draw their weapons. Now, the Hammond Police Department issued a statement, of course, defending the officer's actions, saying police officers were at all times acting in the interest of officer safety. What about the little girl that was in the backseat of the car? Didn't worry about shattering glass all over her or scarring her for life as she's watching her dad being tasered and then dragged out of the car when the cops just busted through the window. And then they go on to say, in general, police officers are allowed to ask passengers inside of a stop vehicle for ID. And they can also request that they exit a stop vehicle for the officer's safety without a requirement of reasonable suspicion. So notice those two words. They can ask and they can request, but also people have the right to deny those requests. Now, officers basically can't just bust out your window and then drag you out of your vehicle because you are trying to get your ID that they requested, and then all of a sudden they become afraid, which I just do not understand. At what point in America did being a police officer become a zero-risk job? That is why you always keep the cameras rolling. Of course, these people are going to be taking action against the Hammond Police Department, and several officers involved in that altercation already have some lawsuits for using excessive force in the past. So I think it's going to turn out lovely for the Jones. Now, coming up, people have been asking for the release of the 28 pages that have been taken out of the 9/11 Commission report. Well, we're going to take a closer look at U.S. ties with Saudi Arabia. And then Motherboard wants to know why conspiracy theorists have such a big problem with transhumanism. Well, we'll show you why right after this.
Then I would ask, based on all that's transpired over the past week, should Texas families remain confident in the ability of our public health system to respond to infectious diseases of this nature?
Because the patient had no symptoms on that flight, had no fever, had no symptoms on those flights, it was actually two flights over, there is virtually no risk. You can push me as far as you want to say zero. I will not say zero. It's knowing what I know, there is zero risk. I said it. There it is. I shouldn't say that. There's no risk. Ebola virus could be sitting there, and if I'm touching it with unbroken skin, it's not a risk.
DNA Force.
When cells become toxic, they die early and aging sets in.
DNA Force.
No one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. Just one of the key compounds, BioPQQ, is backed by major clinical studies.
DNA Force.
We now have the synergistic solution. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
DNA Force.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
Vice President Joe Biden put both feet in his mouth with these statements.
Our allies in the region were our largest problem in Syria. The Turks were great friends, and I have a great relationship with Erdogan, which I've just spent a lot of time with. The Saudis, the Emiratis, etc. What were they doing? They poured hundreds of millions of dollars and tens, thousands of tons of weapons into anyone who would fight against Assad, except that the people who were being supplied were al-Nusra and al-Qaeda and the extremist elements of jihadis coming from other parts of the world.
As Biden feverishly rolls back his testimony to placate the Saudi Arabian royalty and the U.S. importation of 5 million barrels of oil per day,
A war-weary American public grows increasingly aware of the evidence within Biden's account. The potential paradigm shift concerning key players on the world stage awaits the inevitable release of the classified 28 pages within the official 2002 9/11 Commission report. In the guise of national security, former President George Bush classified the portion regarding specific sources of foreign support. Congressman Walter Jones is spearheading the movement that is amounting to be an embarrassing and possibly criminal account of the Bush administration's involvement with Saudi Arabia.
I can honestly tell you, when you've got the former two chairmen, Senator Bob Graham, retired now, lives in Florida, from Florida, and Richard Shelby, still in the United States Senate, and their inquiry commission said that, yes, it should be declassified. Then you've got Hamilton and Kane, recently as 3 weeks ago, former members of the House, and then the former governor of New Jersey, Kane, saying it should be declassified, and there's no reason the American people should not see the truth. It was George Bush that classified this information. Mr. Obama owes nothing to George Bush, but he does owe to the families of 9/11 the right to see the 28 pages and certainly the American people.
As the puppet masters scramble to manage their diversions,
and if the outbreak is not stopped now, we could be looking at hundreds of thousands of people infected.
The cozy relationship between our government and the Saudi Arabians finds itself under developing scrutiny.
I took this action to assist the Saudi Arabian government in the defense of its homeland.
Prince Turki Al-Faisal of Saudi Arabia, those of you who were there yesterday in the season know that I said that he and I went to college together and that everybody knew he was going to amount to something, but no one knew that I would. And it may have turned out that way. He, well, for more than two decades, was the head of the Saudi intelligence services. And I said, at least when I was president, he didn't have to spy on the United States. He could just call me and I'd tell him.
The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia declared the beheadings of 26 people since August 18th. Beheadings for crimes ranging from sorcery to smoking hashish. Wealthy, elderly Saudi men are using the Syrian refugee crisis to increase their exploitation of young Syrian females. And Saudi Arabia enacted a strict visa ban to Ebola-afflicted countries, while American borders remain open and a large pandemic looms in the very near future if present conditions aren't met. Now that culture of death dictates the future of America as the CIA-trained ISIS continues to promote itself as the boogeyman in the Saudi-funded and engineered war of terror, supported by corporate media and a lapdog federal government. In the words of Adolf Hitler, make the lie big, make it simple, keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it.
We are working hand in glove with the Turks, with the Jordanians, with the Saudis, so that when Assad goes, and he will go, there will be a legitimate government that follows on, not an Al-Qaeda-sponsored government that follows on.
John Bound, Infowars.com.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Congress, starring Robin Wright and directed by Ari Folman, has just finished a limited U.S. theatrical run and is now available for rental online at places like Amazon and iTunes. Now, when I looked at the trailer, I thought this was going to be a film that really kind of focused on the radical technological changes that are coming as we see many jobs in virtually every industry being replaced by artificial intelligence and robots. Regardless of what industry you're in, whether it's manufacturing or service, or whether you're working at a low-level job or even as a professional, your job will be impacted, if not entirely replaced, by new technology. The Congress explores how this disruptive technology would affect Hollywood, displacing actors, even the animators that eventually move their digital avatars. But the movie takes a much broader look at a future dystopian society where people are essentially enslaved by entertainment, where they live in a virtual existence. The irony is that many people will avoid this movie or not finish it because they don't find it entertaining enough. But that's how close we are to the dystopian future that it looks at. The Congress is a film that echoes an archetypal warning that's been presented by many great artists over many decades, and that is, once we live in a society characterized by fantasy and deception, it opens a door to authoritarian dictatorship. Based loosely on Stanislaw Lem's The Futurological Congress, it stars Robin Wright as herself, as an actress whose decisions have so frustrated the Hollywood machine that they refuse to work with her ever again unless she signs a one-time contract, a one-time fee, where they will capture her entire appearance and personality into a digital model. Now, of course, she will never be allowed to ever work again. This is something that's going to happen in many industries as people, even professionals, work with programmers to create artificial intelligence that is going to take over their job, where they will never, ever work again in their field or area of expertise. The Congress also stars Harvey Keitel as Robin's agent and Danny Houston as Jeff Green, president of a major movie conglomerate, Miramount Films. The film begins with Hollywood's next technological leap forward, a completely realistic digital version of an actor or actress that makes it look like the actor is in the film. And, of course, they've used this in a lot of action science fiction films to replace actors in very dangerous or impossible sequences. The sphere of lights and camera that are shown in the film capturing Robin Wright's image is an actual device that's already been used. But once they go beyond the distant shots or the small action shots and go to actual virtual actors, that's something that's going to change not only the process of filmmaking, but movies in general. And this is where the Congress really gets interesting. After they flesh out the concept of virtual actors, the film jumps 20 years into the future. And ironically, even though Robin Wright was very reluctant to be a part of this digital reality, she is the last remaining major Hollywood star that actually has a real-life person attached to them. So she's sent to the Futurist Congress. And so she's selected to be a part of the Futurist Conference, where they're going to announce the next big step forward, inhaling an actor's genetic code, creating a controlled hallucination of the actress or movie, completely controlled by the unconscious. This Futurist Conference, this Congress, is really where the live acting ends and pretty much most of the rest of the movie is animated. Now, the animation style is kind of a combination of classic animation and modern techniques, but it is filled with provocative, subliminal sexual references, almost as if they're kind of making fun of the way Madison Avenue and the Hollywood studios like Disney have done this in the past. At the Congress, the president of Miramount Films reveals the actual plan, the complete corporate control of all human thought via pharmaceutical technologies. For those who attend the Congress, the hallucinations never end because they put the pharmaceuticals in the drinking water. An announcer romanticizes what he portrays as a utopian future, where you can be whatever you want, you can do whatever you want, where you have everything in abundance. But of course, it's simply an illusion. And if you're a dissenter or if you're defiant in any way, you will be eliminated.
And why should the roller coaster stop here? Wright's characters then moved 70 years into this future, a world divided by those who are part of the mass hallucination world and those who opted to live life in reality. While this part of the movie might seem like pure science fiction, look again. The world that's being illustrated here is one that's been described by top futurists for many decades now. Aldous Huxley famously predicted a world where people learn to love their servitude to the state through psychotropic and behavior-controlling drugs.
It is possible to make people contented with their servitude. I think this can be done. I think it has been done in the past, but I think it could be done even more effectively now, because you can provide them with bread and circuses, and you can provide them with endless amounts of distractions and propaganda.
One look at the psychiatric drug industry in America, and it will be obvious that for millions of people, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World is a functioning part of their everyday lives. Heavily influenced by Huxley, the reality portrayed by George Lucas in THX 1138 shows every move and emotion of an ordinary man or woman is controlled and regulated pharmaceutically. Ray Kurzweil believes that you'll be able to upload your personality, your consciousness to a computer. Once there, you'll be able to do anything you want, even talk to people who are long deceased. And of course, in Ray Kurzweil's case, he thinks he's going to be able to talk to his father who died decades ago. At one of the most powerful points in the film, Robin Wright exits the hallucinogenic animation and she finds herself in the real world where people are just roaming around in this gray, grim reality like inmates in an asylum because they really only exist in an entertainment coma. So the question the Congress presents to us is, will people be willing to live in an entertainment utopia but where they're actually enslaved by technology? You know, technology is just a tool. It can be used for good or for evil. And Eisenhower warned us about this with the military-industrial complex, saying that it would take over research, that it would take over technology and use it for its own purposes. We've seen this happening as technology accelerates. It's increasingly being used for destruction and for distraction, not for production. It's being used to enslave us, not to serve us. The Congress could wake up some people about our obsession with entertainment, if only it were more entertaining. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Knight.
Thank you for tuning in to the InfoWars Nightly News. If you are watching us on YouTube, subscribe to the Alex Jones channel. Do it now. And then head over to prisonplanet.tv and become a subscriber there as well. You can get all sorts of content that you won't find on YouTube. And as always, you can share your username and password with up to 11 people at the same time. So it's 11 of you getting all the access that you need to fight the info war. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We'll see you here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central. City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered with a ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.